Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. We start today's halaqa by turning to a narration from Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala an. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ba'di min ummati qawman yaqra'un al-Qur'an la yujawizu huluqahum yamruquna min ad-deen kama yamruqu as-sahmu min ar-ramiyya thumma la ya'uduna fihi hum shiraru al-khalqi wal-khaliqa." In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that a group of people are soon to come who will recite the Qur'an, but the Qur'an will not pass their throats. The words will be correct, the pronunciation will be correct, but their relationship with the Qur'an will be nothing. Their connection with the Qur'an won't really even exist. The meaning of the Qur'an will not reach their heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions them kind of like an arrow that when fired hits all flesh and cuts through the animal and then passes right through. Sometimes when you go and look at that arrow, you don't even see any sign on there that it ever had contact with the bow that it originated from, or even the target that it struck, because it just passes right through. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that there are people who will engage with this deen at a surface level, but the deen will not impact their hearts. Similarly, the famous riwayah of Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us of أَوَّلُ النَّاسِ يُقْضَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the first three people who judgment will be passed on the Day of Judgment. All of mankind has gathered and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes judgment. The first of them is a shaheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, "Tell me about your life, tell me about your deeds." And he will say, "Ya Allah, I was shaheed, I gave my life for you. قَاتَلْتُ فِيكَ حَتَّى إِسْتُشْهِدْتُ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "كَذَبْتَ, you lied. You didn't fight for me, وَلَكِنَّ قَاتَلْتَ لِأَنْ يُقَالَ جَرِيءٌ. You didn't fight for my sake. You fought in the battlefield so people will say this man is courageous." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, "فَقَدْ قِيلَ." What you wanted to be said about you was said. You wanted to be called courageous, people called you that. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. The man will then be dragged on his face and tossed in the fire of hell. The second person that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in this hadith, رجل تعلم العلم وعلمه وقرأ القرآن. A man who sought knowledge and taught it and recited the Quran. فأتي به, that person will be brought forth. فعرفه نعمه فعرفها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind that person of his favors on him. Did I not give you this? Did I not give you that? Did I not give you this? فعرفها. He will say, "Yes, my Rabb, you did give me all of these things." قَالَ فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal will then ask, "What did you do with my blessing?" ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Tell me what you did with my blessing. قَالَ تَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمْتُهُ وَقَرَأْتُ فِيكَ الْقُرْآنَ. Oh Allah, I sought knowledge and I taught it, and I read the Qur'an, فِيكَ الْقُرْآنَ, for your sake. I read Qur'an for your sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, كَذَبْتَ. No, that's not true. وَلَكِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُقَالَ عَالِمٌ وَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُقَالَ هُوَ قَارِئٌ فَقَدْ قِيلَ. The reason why you learn knowledge is so people could say he is a scholarly person, So when you go on your WhatsApp group, your family group, and you write something, people say, wow, this guy really knows it. Or when you go onto social media in the comment section, you flex a little there. If everyone's like, whoa, this person really knows what he's talking about. You wanted the praise, you got it. Nothing here for you today. Keep walking. Why did you read the Quran? So people will say the man is a reciter. Because for some people, the Quran unfortunately has boiled down to an art. They use their vocals to present the Quran like an artist does with their paintbrush. While the Quran is much more than vocals. It is much more than a stroke of a brush. The Quran is a cure for the hearts. It is a guide for mankind. Reading it right is a haqq. It is a right of the Quran that you pronounce it right, you read it right, you avoid making mistakes where possible. But it's much more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, take this man and drag him, and he will be then taken and tossed into the fire of hell. And then the same thing is repeated regarding a charitable person. Now when we look at this, from a distance you may think, wow, these people did good stuff. They should definitely be entitled to paradise. But the case isn't that we get obsessed and we are locked within the outside of what an act seems to be. We need to be focused on the state of our hearts. There is a person who earns her paradise simply by giving water to a dog. She spent her life doing evil. She gave water to her dog. Allah Azza wa Jal gave her paradise. Why? Because of the state of her heart. And there's another person that's doing good, but misses out on it. Why? Because their heart wasn't present there. They weren't fully focused. Therefore, today's lesson is about being sincere with the Quran. Our Sheikh told us a story once regarding a man who, he worked in a village. This is some time back. So on his way to work every day, he would pass by a small little town. One time, he was on the way to the town, he would pass by a village. So when he was passing by the village one day, he saw the people of the village standing outside on the road. He asked them, what's going on here? They said, well, someone died in our community and we don't have anyone to lead the funeral prayer. He said, well, I can lead a funeral prayer. He came in the community, helped them with the burial process, led the funeral prayer, went on. When he reached his village, when he reached the town that he was headed to, he was trying to log in for work. He noticed that his wallet was missing. He started thinking where his wallet may have been, and he remembered that when he was lowering the body into the grave, he really tilted forward, and very likely where he was standing is where his wallet fell out. So on his way back, he went to that village again, and he asked the people there, who are the family members? They said, well, this is the family. He went to the family. He sought their permission. He said, if I have your permission, I'd like to dig out where I was standing. I won't touch the grave, just where I was standing in the corner, and my wallet's there. Let me take it out. So he went into that grave and he started digging out that corner. And when he reached the area where his wallet was, as he reached down, he smelt this beautiful fragrance and he felt a breeze brush against his arm. He sealed the grave off, went back to the family, said, I found my wallet. I have a question. What was special about this guy? It seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really honored him. Just moments after he left the dunya, his grave feels like a garden. They said, no, nothing special about this guy. Keep it moving. He said, no, there must be. He kept pushing until finally his wife said, look, my husband was no one special. He didn't even know how to read the Quran. He was such a simple person that every day when he would open up the store, he would sit down first for a few minutes, open up the Quran, do wudu, put on a nice garment, put some itar on, open the Quran, and he would run his fingers through the lines and he would cry and say, Ya Allah, I don't know what this says, but I know that you said it, so it must be true. And then he would kiss that ayah and go to the next one. Ya Allah, I don't know what this verse says, but I know that you said it, so it must be true. And he would kiss it, put it on his forehead, and continue like that. And our Sheikh would say to us after sharing this qissa, this incident, that it's nothing more than an incident. But in reality, it's also a lesson of mahabbah, of sincerity. Don't focus too much on your skill while neglecting the state of your heart. Because the qabiliya of a person can really delude them if it isn't paired with qubuliya. The ability of a person can delude them. It can lead them down the wrong pathway. For that, you need acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does a person develop sincerity with the Quran? Three things. Number one, فَهْمُ عَظْمَةِ الْكَلَامِ وَعُلُوِّهِ. When you sit with the Quran, spend a moment to just reflect on how great this speech of Allah is that you are about to engage with. As the Imam says, Allahu Akbar, just check in with your whole body, check in with your mind, check in with your heart, that we are about to listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a message of God. Reflecting on that. Number two, at-ta'zeemu lil-mutakallim. Then focus on the greatness of the one whose words these are. Whose words are these? They're not my words. They're not your words. They're not the words of some historian or politician, some general. These words belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the words of Allah. Reflect on the one whose words these are. And the third thing, حضور القلب وترك حديث النفس وتجرد له عند قراءته وصرف الهم إليه عن غيره. That cut off your heart from anything that distracts it and focus, be present, and just be there. When children read the Quran, it's easy for them to get distracted. In addition to teaching them how to read the Quran, how beautiful would it be that parents say to their children, I want you to sit with the Quran for 2 minutes, and all you need to focus on how amazing of the kalam of Allah is that you're about to read. Just reflect on that for a few minutes. And then from 2 minutes, it becomes three. That you teach them that when you're reading the Quran, it's not a good time to fidget. It's not a good time to play with your ear, play with your nose, play with your hat, tug your shirt. You're reading the Quran. Remember the greatness of what you're reading, and remember the greatness of the one whose Quran you are reading. Keep your heart present. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us all, inshallah, with ikhlas. May Allah azza wa jalla make us from the companions of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.